take me through the process of making a pattern from the pine coming into the shop to the finished pattern?
Well, it was usually sawn to requirements from these bulks of timber. They had quite a good selection of machines in those days: circular saws, planers, thicknessers. And always very well kept up to date, kept up to scratch, sharp, always very sharp bandsaws, always always very good condition. And then, you had the blueprint then, you know, to work out all the... Bruce Fallander used to give you some indication of how he wanted it made, and then you just got on with it.
So you would have been cutting the wood with the circular saw or the bandsaw to the size that you wanted it. And then how would you finish off the pattern? What machines would you be using to do the finer work?
Well, it was usually jointed, because I mean some of the patterns were colossal, you know, like as big as a single decker bus, perhaps, you know, that size. And they were all built up with planks and framework, and screwed and glued, all screwed and glued together, and then planed round, and where necessary, sandpapered, and then they were given a coat of varnish. Then, and I remember rough. The rough casting was always painted in a brilliant scarlet red, and the machine surfaces were always painted with a yellow, and the cores, wherever the cores appeared, they were painted with a core print was painted with a black. So.
Can you explain what each of those things were for us, please? What the machine servicing would have been, what the core would have been?
Yeah, the machine, all sorts. I recall pumps. They did radio pumps. They did balers, the big scrap of metal balers, riveters, presses of all sorts, table presses. Anything that could be cast was cast, and of course there's an awful lot of pattern making done in the today. The fabrication, you know, has taken a lot of the place of the pattern maker now.